And can you talk a little bit about what we know about genomic assays? You know, when we ask people, do you use genomic assays at the five-year point, you don't hear a lot about it, but mostly when I do hear about it, I've heard more about breast cancer index being used. Some people use the Oncotype. Could you talk about the relative data sets that are out there to try to guide this decision, and what prompted you in this case to use the Prosigna test?
Well, you know, so, you know, the truth is that there are, you know, multiple genomic assays, and they all work quite well at predicting early relapse. And so the ones that, you know, we have level one evidence for, you know, early decision-making for MammaPrint, and we have the same for Oncotype. We have similar data, but not level one evidence for BCI, for the EP-Clin test, which is not available in the U.S., but has, you know, also well-validated and available in Europe, and for Prosigna. What we've seen are data sets, you know, ABCSG and others, ATAC has done some of these, where they've looked at risk of late relapse and looked at several of these assays. Some of them seem to underperform it for predicting late relapse, and others seem to behave quite well. And I think the ones with the best data, and none of it is awesome data, but the best data and consistent data appear to be the Prosigna, BCI, and the EP-Clin test. It's less clear that the Oncotype, unless you tweak it, and I think they're working on some aspects of tweaking it to have it perform in this way, gives you as good data for late relapse, and nor does MammaPrint. Which, you know, MammaPrint in particular, the way it was developed for early relapse, and so it's not surprising that it wouldn't be as good for later relapse.
I want to ask you in a second about the use of genomic assays earlier on at first diagnosis, but I am kind of curious. You mentioned the fact that you attempted a number of sort of symptomatic approaches to the problems this woman was having with AIs, because she actually got letrozole and then you switched her to exemestane, and I guess that didn't really help too much. What exactly did you try? What do you typically do to deal with things like vaginal dryness? And I think you said urinary incontinence?
Yeah, so, you know, we usually start with the traditional combination moisturizers and lubricants. I think one of the common errors is people try moisturizers and then they try lubricants, and in truth, you got to do both.
Could I just ask what the difference between a moisturizer and a lubricant?
I mean, one is, you could think of it more as the chronic setting and the acute setting from the standpoint of sex. And so you do need chronic use of moisturizers. And then at time of sexual intercourse, you want to also use lubricants.
And there are different preparations for that?
Yeah, different preparations. It's very difficult, and it's a chronic and it's a common problem for our patients. You know, I'm not averse to low-dose Vagifem, although, to be honest, that requires a balanced discussion because, you know, you're obviously adding hormones topically, admittedly, but to patients where you're giving them anti-estrogen. So there is some, you know, that is not something I enter into lightly. But in this case, I think after the fifth year, we had a feeling of relative reassurance that she was not going to be at high risk for a late relapse. And rather than continue to torture her, we stopped the drug.